So I went to a psychiatrist today. Went downtown, some building on Broadway, and spoke to this Sigmund Freud dude. Explained to him the situation I'm in and kind of the depression I'm going through, and you know, really, I went there just to get some kind of drug. I didn't care what it was. All I wanted was something that's gonna just, really what I want is something that just makes me not care about anything. I feel like that's what I need right now, is to just not care about anything, because caring about shit just seems to really, really backfire for me. And it's myself that I know. I know that I'm the one that causes this ultimate failure to happen in whatever relationship I'm in or whatever I'm trying to do. I know that it's me. But I have to still deal with the aftermath. And right now, I was just, I don't know what got into me or what happened, but I started to feel like shit. And I know, I don't know what it is. Part of me wants to fucking hurt her so bad. Part of me wants to just go all out and just fucking lay it into her. And then part of me just gets sad because it didn't work out. And man, she's an amazing girl. I don't know. I go back and forth all day. I want to fucking hate her and tear her guts out. And then I think about her and what could have been, the places we're never going to go, the words we're never going to speak, the look that we're never going to give each other. And fuck, man, this is hard to deal with, but I go to a psychologist, and he's explaining everything to me, and you know, depression doesn't make sense, and I was a little annoyed, because the worst thing I think you can do to someone who's depressed is just say, why are you depressed? You know, you got all these great things going for you. And of course, but that's why it's fucking depression, and it doesn't make any sense. If you look at my life on paper, I've led a pretty amazing life. I've been able to do things that, you know, not everybody in this world gets to do. I'm not saying I'm special or even, you know, on that top half or anything, but I've been able to do some things. I've been able to go places. I've lived in Los Angeles. I live in New York City now. I have been able to see a few places in this world. I've always had a good job through all the hard times that people are having in this country. I've made it through it all, and I don't know how. I don't know how, because I never went to college. I don't even try. I mean, I don't fucking try for shit. I don't do anything. And somehow I've been able to make it, at least on paper. But mentally, I'm a wreck. Mentally, I have zero confidence. I basically hate myself, is the truth. Like, I don't like myself very much, and you know, with each rejection, that hatred gets deeper and deeper, and it gets to the point where you wonder, what is the point in all this? Why? So what if I have a good job? So what if I live in Manhattan now? And so what if I lived in Los Angeles? So what if I started what I think is a pretty cool radio station? Like, so what if I've done these things? Does any of it matter? Does it really matter in the end? We're all gonna die. We're all gonna be in the same position in the end of this life. You know, there is ultimately a pointlessness to everything that we do, that that is hard to argue with. And so this psychiatrist is just, you know, he's pointing out the obvious to me. And, oh, you know, maybe she did you a favor. You know, you may not see it yet, but it's very possible that she did you a big favor. And I'm just hearing this. I just want to fucking reach over and fucking choke him, because it's so hard for me to see how all the pain that I'm going through right now, there's some kind of underlying purpose to it. And to me, it doesn't feel that way. To me, it just feels like I fucked up again, and I fucked my own life up, and I fucked up someone else's life. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm having a hard time seeing how she's gonna, I mean, if she doesn't take any of her shit is still here, her cats are still here, and I don't know, she fucking worried about those cats day in and day out, and then all of a sudden she's able to just fucking leave them here, and I don't know what to do with these cats. I don't want to keep looking at these goddamn cats. All I think about is her when I see these cats, and I'm laying here in my bed trying to keep my mind off of shit, watching fucking Louis C.K. season 2, and I look over and I see this cat, and it's just laying there, and her cats oddly seem to know that something is fucked up, because they're just laying around like lethargic, and I don't know if it's the heat here in the city or what it is, but it's not helping me out at all. And I don't know. I just... How can you understand depression? You look depression in the face, and depression is going to disagree with every positive point that you have to make. Because ultimately, I mean, what it is you can't erase that pointlessness. So anyway, I went there and I got drugs. I got Lexapro, which I've been on before, and I guess it helped. I feel like I fucked up, because he asked me if I was ever on anything before, and he said I told him I was on Lexapro, so he just went ahead and prescribed that to me, and I don't think that's really what I wanted. I wanted him to come up with a drug. I didn't want him to have me tell him what drug I want to be on. Of course, I got some Ambien out of it. I love Ambien. It makes me float on a cloud, and then I just go to sleep. I'm, as much as you'd think that I would be a out of control pill popper, I'm actually really concerned about taking drugs and becoming addicted. And Ambien's one of those drugs where it's like really addictive, but I'll stop myself if I take it more than 3 days in a row, usually even more than just 2 days in a row, I'll stop, because I can feel it not working as well as it does. But man, there is nothing better than fucking Ambien after you haven't taken it for a long time. You take that pill and you don't care. You feel all warm and fuzzy, and then you just float away and go to sleep. You know, unfortunately, like, the best thing with Ambien is to take an Ambien and be with somebody. And, you know, I've never done ecstasy, and people always talk about how just touching just feels really good with ecstasy, but I don't know, Ambien feels really good too. But I get out of this place, and, you know, it's like, psychiatry is a racket, and I've been through this before. Oh man, there was this psychiatrist that I found on Yelp in Los Angeles. And it was this woman, and I emailed her. And she emailed me back. And she asked me, you know, what is it that I'm looking for? Oh, I can't sleep. I need an Ambien prescription. My psychiatrist is no longer practicing, and I just want to go to sleep. Well, after like 3 emails, she calls in an Ambien prescription into Rite Aid for me. Never even met me. It was all over email, and it was just a scam. But the crazy thing about this one that doesn't make sense is that I never paid this woman anything. I didn't give her a dime. She just gave me drugs, basically. Like, so she was just a good Samaritan drug dealer, which she's probably not all that good because... And she obviously got busted because she stopped practicing as well. So that was a bust right there. But I go into this office and, you know, it's similar to what it's like to go in for your cannabis card in Los Angeles in California. Walk in. Do you got your money? Yeah, I got my money. Okay, pay us now and take a seat. And that's what it was here, you know. Well, here, fill out this paperwork. And by the way, if you want to just pay right now, you can just do that. Okay, whatever. $250 for an hour. And I got maybe a good 35 minutes out of that $250. Whatever. I mean, I didn't even care. I know what it's about. That $250 says you're going to go home with some kind of drug and, you know... The doctor looked at me all serious, and what he's doing, which is funny, it's so shady. This whole fucking shit is so shady. He prescribed me a little more of a dosage than what I probably needed, and his excuse was, well, I'm saving you money because I'm giving you a higher dose, so you can cut the pills in half, so it's like I'm giving you 2 doses in one. I don't know. That just seems dangerous and shady. How many people do that and just take the higher dose and don't give a fuck? I mean, I'm too paranoid to do that, and I'm going to cut the pills in half. And I normally would do that with Ambien anyway, even with smaller dosages. I'd still cut it in half because I'm scared of becoming a pill popper, addicted pill popper. But, you know, and then he looks at me all serious and stern, and he's like, I'm here to help you with whatever you need. And he said it in such a way that was like, I could call him on the phone and just be like, hey, man, you know, I need some fucking Xanax now, so hook it up. You know, not in those words, of course, but I really got that sense. And what is that? What is that? What makes that different than the street dealer? You know, what makes that different than just some guy in the street that's giving you some kind of dangerous drug? You know, oh, well, these are FDA approved. Yeah, you know, if you look at the side effect list, you know, it oftentimes is a lot more serious than probably some of those dangerous drugs. You know, assuming that you're not smoking meth 24/7, you know. But it's just a shady thing to me, and I see that kind of stuff, and it what it does is it kills that feeling that you're doing something legitimate and right and good for yourself. It kind of kills that a little bit. Now, hey, I'm going to take those fucking drugs because if I don't get out of this depression, I don't know what I'm going to do. I need to change my way of thinking to think that my life isn't completely over right now. And if you understand depression, if you are clinically depressed and your brain chemistry is geared toward depression, you know that getting out of this rut, this deep hole, is a difficult thing to do, to say the least. I know that for weeks I'm going to be breaking down on a daily basis and wondering, how did it all go wrong? And not only with this relationship, with every relationship I've ever had, I've fucked it up in every way I could. just for no reason. No reason will I just destroy something. I will get a bug in my ass, and I'll either be the crazy jealous psycho you're fucking me over guy, or I'll be the guy to fuck the other person over, and I'll be the one that's lying and cheating and just fucking disregarding someone else's love. And it's like, either it could go either way, and I'm just gonna fuck it up. I'm gonna fuck it up. I'm gonna destroy it. So, you know, the desk lady at this psychiatrist's office was just killing me. Just this overly nice, polite, almost like Midwestern, bubbly chick who was listening to some kind of like music, that some fucking ambient music that, you know, she was probably told to play when someone's sitting in the lobby, because she didn't have it on when I first walked in. Nobody was there, so it was almost like, oh, okay, somebody's in the lobby now. I gotta play the I gotta cue the ambient music and all this bullshit. And something about her annoyed the shit out of me. I just wanted to fucking curse at her or something, like, fuck you, you know, like, fuck off, you know, like, disrupt her strange, odd, just tranquility with just vulgarity and fucking, I don't know, just disgustingness. I wanted to pollute her airwaves with bullshit. And I don't know. The office, you know, you walk in, this guy, I mean, Sigmund Freud accent, and, you know, I mean, the guy seemed good, but he's older, and he's rich, and he's a psychiatrist in fucking New York City, and very difficult for me to relate to him. And it's weird when someone is in that position, and you can tell that they don't really get it, because they've never had these types of problems. They've obviously been successful and made the right choices and probably had the support that they needed, and they don't have the fucked up problems. So it's really hard for me to just be like, yeah, sure, you know, I'm going to take your advice. You don't know what it's like to fucking look at the wall and just wonder what it is that you're here for, and why do you continue to fucking breathe? Like, you don't know what that's like. You don't know what it means to fucking see people all around you and be scared of all of them, and think that every single person that you walk by is judging you, thinking that you're fucking fat and disgusting, and that, you know, like, making fun of you. And it's this odd thing where I know in New York City, people don't give a fuck who's doing what. Like, this is New York City. The craziest motherfuckers in the world are running the streets mad. But I walk down the street, and all of a sudden people are looking at me thinking, what a fat fuck. Look at this miserable, fucking pathetic piece of shit. And they're probably not thinking that. Probably, you know, I can't even be logical about it, because I still think that that's what's happening. And I try to fake it right now. Oh, they're probably not thinking that. But in my mind, I actually do think that they're thinking that. So I don't know why I'm backpedaling, because the truth is that I think people look at me and think I'm a pathetic fuck. So what do you do? What do you do? What do you do to not freak out? What do you do to not fucking slide that blade across your fucking wrist? What do you do? I think the only reason I haven't done any kind of legitimate suicide attempt is just pure fear. And it only contributes to how pathetic I feel, that I'm so pathetic that I can't even handle an attempt to do what I know in my mind feels right, to just stop this whole thing, to realize that that shit's probably not going to get better for me at this stage in the game. I'm 35 years old. I'm 35. I don't know, like, what have I learned? What have I really learned? Have I learned anything? Have I? Obviously not. This last fucking breakup was probably worse than most of them. I can't do the right thing. The right thing in this case would have been to never leave Los Angeles. To look at this girl and say, hey, if you give a shit about me, if you care about me, fucking show me first. Leave your boyfriend. Be with me here. Don't be ashamed to tell people that you're actually with me, because she wouldn't tell anybody. It was a big fucking secret. And, you know, as childish and as fucking lame as Facebook is, and how much it fucking disgusts me, that is the standard in which people judge what you want to be publicly known. And that disgusts me, but it's symbolic, unfortunately, in this day and age. And, you know, she wasn't gonna let anybody know I'm in a relationship with Jeremy Hansen. Fucking never. And she, while she's talking to her ex-boyfriend, trying to cover up her tracks, trying to backpedal as fast as she can, because she knows that she wants to go back to LA to be with him, because that's her security. It's not even if she loves him or not. It's going back there to something. I know what that means. I know how that feels. I've done it a million times. Something dies and you got to backpedal to the last thing that worked, even though that last thing didn't actually work, but it's still there somehow. So you got to try to hold on to it so you can go right back to it, so you don't have to really start over. You're not really starting over. You're just rewinding. And I get that, but, you know, she told him that she fucked me out of pity, and I want that to not bother me, because I know that she didn't fuck me for me. She didn't fuck me for love or any kind of concern for me or caring for me. She didn't fuck me for any of those reasons. She fucked just to fuck. And that's what I don't think her ex-boyfriend is able to understand or will accept. It wasn't a pity fuck. And as convenient as that is, as much as that will play into how well he's going to believe her, I mean, that's a perfect thing for her to tell him, to get him to believe her that it meant nothing, because he thinks I'm a fat fuck too and disgusting, and he's said it many times in the messages to her on Facebook and on her phone. So it works well. She can just say, well, it was a pity fuck. Dude, if you fucking saw the pictures I have of her in fucking, I don't know how many different states and different places and different positions. And I mean, hey man, she's, as far as sex goes, she is right on top of it. I mean, well, let me take that back. Visually, she is all you could desire. Visually. The odd thing is that she's not that experienced, and that in a weird way, like, she wasn't actually very good at sex in an odd way. But damn, man, she fucking squirted, and I can't help but to love that. That's a fetish of mine, or whatever you want to call it. But pity fuck, dude. I mean, I hate to break it to you, but she wasn't fucking for me. She wasn't fucking for anything but to fuck. And that is probably something that happened to her dealing with what she had to deal with in her childhood, because she is desensitized to the love. How could she feel love when someone that she was supposed to love betrayed her so deeply in such a bad way, and in the worst way that you could ever imagine? So, I don't know. The reason I turned on the mic right now is because I started to feel like shit, and this worked before, and if I have to make 1,000 of these fucking things to make it through this time, then that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to become more familiar with the mic, and I want to talk. I want to do this. I think I have some things to share and some things to say, and I'm a fucking miserable fuck, and that usually works pretty well on the microphone if you have some miserable things to say. There's some passion behind it on some level, even if it's drawn from a negative place. But I don't know what I'm talking about. I just need to do this so I don't go completely fucking insane and curl up in a ball and not come out. So, fuck everything. This is one of those times again, and I've been through it before. I've been through it way too many times, in fact, and that's kind of what's sad about it. I saw this coming a million miles away. I thought that she would come here and say, I miss LA, but I didn't think it would be surrounded by these lies and this deceit and her stabbing me in the back and just lying to my face and telling me that she doesn't love me and telling me that she fucking isn't attracted to me. You don't even know how that hurt, because I didn't expect her to be. And she looked me in the face after she said that, and she said, are you surprised? Are you really surprised? And that was saying, like, dude, look at yourself in the mirror. Are you fucking surprised that someone that looks like me isn't attracted to you? That's what she was saying. And wow, that's brutal. That's pretty fucking brutal. Anyway, 30 minutes seems good for these little rants, and we'll see what happens. Next time I want to fucking slit my wrist, you'll hear another one of these.